your host, Joseph Ward. My man Pat couldn't make it today, but shout out to Pat anyway, the greatest co-host ever. Hey man, this is the Freedom Train Podcast Series, and as you know, or if you didn't know, we are brought to you by PACS Inc., and that's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C, and PACS Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit their website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn, www.pactsinc.org is the website that you should be visiting first. So once you go to the website, you'll learn more about the codes of conduct, how to become a member of the organization, how to donate to the organization, how to get involved. And if you hover your mouse over that learning center, there's a drop-down box with a whole bunch of resources ranging from audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, and videos that you can learn from. There's also a store where you can go and support PACS Inc. And once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, now you go to the Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, to learn more about Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and Queen Candace, the host of all of our podcasts. And remember, our podcasts drop every Monday. You get the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train Podcast Series, as well as Shelby's World. Every Friday, you get the live showing of the Enigma Sept Hour. Every Saturday, you get Lessons from the Screen by Patrick. So make sure you check us out, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So this week is Tallahassee African Fashion Week, and it's really going down in Tallahassee. And if you're not in Tallahassee, you might want to get to Tallahassee so you can be a part of Tallahassee African Fashion Week. Because if you're trying to be cool and be somebody in life, you need to be at the Tallahassee African Fashion Week. Ain't that right, Candace?
Hey, that's right.
Yeah. So, I have today Miss Candace May, who is the creator of the African Fashion Week. She is joining us here on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm excited about this interview because I'm a big fan of the African Fashion Week, the fashion shows. I've been to every show, and I appreciate Candace because she asked me to host last year, and I did. And I guess she liked my hosting because she asked me to do it again, and I'm excited. And I appreciate that, Candace. So I want to make sure that, as always, I use my platform to help promote what you have going on, because I really believe in what you're doing. I think the African Fashion Week is something that Tallahassee needs. I want to see it expand and go further because I really believe in what you do. I think you and your mother create great items, great clothes, and the fashion shows are always great. So I want to make sure that we are supporting you. And so whenever you need, you know, you always got a seat right here on the Freedom Train.
That's what's up. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. No problem. So let's get into this interview so people can learn more about you as well as Tallahassee, as well as the African Fashion Week. So for those who don't know you, can you give some background information about yourself and what inspired you to create the Tallahassee African Fashion Week?
Okay, well, I'm Candace, and I am a fashion designer. Me and my mother, we have our business, Kuma Creations, and we design, you know, African ethnic-inspired clothing. We do alterations, we do redesigns, and, yeah, I'm just a creative person overall, I think. You know, I love creating things from your clothes to jewelry to art, home decor. I've even dabbled a little bit in home decor.
Okay.
One thing that inspired me to, you know, create Tallahassee African Fashion Week is, you know, creating a platform that exclusively for African fashion designers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, without mixing anything else into it, you know, most major cities have Fashion Week. And those major cities have African Fashion Week. And so I'm like, well, shoot, Florida, you know, it's the capital. You know, we need to do that. So, you know, pretty much just creating a it started with creating a platform for my brand, and then I'm sharing that platform with other brands in Tallahassee and surrounding areas.
Okay. So why is it important for you to create and display African fashion from cultures all over, like the diaspora? Why is that important to you?
I think it's important because it helps us, like, well, for me, you know, and my children, it helps connect the dots.
Okay.
With, you know, the different things you learn about, you know, within history. You know, I've always really been in tune with, you know, African history, African-American history. And so I feel like, you know, the attire helps connect the dots. Because a lot of the prints have meanings. A lot of the prints originate in different countries in Africa. And so being able to display it in a way that, you know, more modern, you know, how we would wear it here.
Right.
I think kind of, you know, helps connect those dots with history and, you know, history and fashion. You know what I mean? Like, if that makes
right.
sense. I hope that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It gets you in touch with the culture.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just having, you wearing that Kente print or wearing the, you know, print from Tanzania, wearing a print from Ghana, you know, having the mud cloth, what cowrie right. shells mean. You know, those things have meanings and they have histories behind them. And so, for me, it, you know, it helps connect the dots.
Right. Well, when I think about that, because as I was writing that question, I was thinking about myself when I was younger. I've always been into African history, but when I was younger, I wasn't into African the clothing, the attire, because all I knew was dashikis. Now,
right,
I did, right, right. But, you know, now I was around people from Africa, and time to time we would see their clothes, but I didn't understand it. So as you were saying that, you were helping me kind of really get it as far as the attire and the need for it is, that connection to the culture and to really understand, like you say, there's meaning behind the clothes. You're not just putting it on just for, yes,
right.
it's fashion, but you can't, like in some cultures, some stuff you can't wear because of your status and all those things. So it's just meaning behind everything.
Right, 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 right. Like a dashiki is worn normally by, men mm-hmm. men for ceremonies or different things like that. And then you have, like, the different type of African attire dresses for women, you know, for certain ceremonies or, you know, for certain, you know, maybe you wear it to school or you have certain, you know, hats and head dresses that kings and queens wear. So, you know, these pieces have meaning. And so while we, you know, to translate them to America as an African-American, you know, we're of the diaspora. We're the displaced Africans. And so mm-hmm. to bring that to America, you know, where it is like, you know, let me put a little twist to it so that, you know, we can wear it here and, you know, it fit in with the culture here. You know, without taking away from what it represents in Africa. And so I think that is what Kuma Creation does as a brand, and that's what we're trying to put out there to the community. Like, you know, you don't have to wear a traditional dashiki. You know, we can take the print and put it into a modern way, and you still have that vibe. You know, we can make this shirt look like, and you don't even know it's African print, unless I tell you it's African print.
Right.
You know, but at the
right.
same time, that print still has a meaning to it. It's still that, you know, that Kente print still has, you know, speak that unapologetically African. You know what I mean? So that's what we try to do when we try to portray.
That's awesome though, because it's connecting people to the culture and the diaspora through something that a lot of people like. Like, people like looking good. People like putting on clothes and looking good and feeling good. And you have a direct way to connect them to the culture so they can feel African and love the Africanness about themselves and what they have on. That's amazing. So I applaud you for that, definitely. So The African Fashion Week. So there's a plethora of events going on. So for the audience, because we want everybody to be there, we want this house packed. So can you give the people a breakdown of what will be going on during the African Fashion Week?
Yes. So Tallahassee African Fashion Week is a 4-day event. Starts on Thursday, February the 6th, and it ends on Sunday, February the 9th. So Thursday is the opening reception. Thursday, February 6th is the opening reception at 8 p.m., and it's going to be at the Le Femme Boutique, 2010 South Monroe Street. And that is, a meet and greet where you can meet the designers, the models, the production team, mixed mingle shop. Just, get excited about the week. And then Friday, February 7th at 8 o'clock, is the Fashion Talk. And that's streamed on Instagram and Facebook Live, but will be streamed from Halisi Africa. Their address is 1002 Commercial Road, and they're located in Railroad Square, Tallahassee's Art District. And that's a boutique where they sell African fashion designer clothing as well. And so we'll be interviewing the designers, some of the performers, and, just people involved in the show and in fashion. And then Saturday is the children's fashion show, which I'm excited about. It's going to be a lot. It's a children's fashion show. So Saturday, February 8th, the children's fashion show starts at 8 p.m. It's 2900 North Monroe Street, the Days Inn Profit Center. And this year at the Children's Fashion Show, we have two children designers. We have Kabibi Collection. I think she's 11 or 12. And then we have Oso Divine, and she's 16. And so they've designed and made these clothes, okay? And it's going to be dope.
That's what's up. I'm excited.
I'm excited about that. Like, these little girls, they have some skills. They have some skills. They have some style. And it just reminds me so much of myself when I was a little kid growing up, trying to look at what my mom's doing. And they are doing it. And so then Sunday, February 9th, is the main event, the Ankara Fashion Show. And that's at the 2900 North Monroe Street, Days Inn Conference Center. And that is, we have showcasing Sunday. We have Halisi Africa. We have Leah Femme Boutique. We have Irivu Styles, and then Kuma Creations will headline. And that's going to be dope. We have Mike Jack Music performing. We have Kia performing. We have African Drum and Dance opening up the show. There's a vendor area. The vendor area is free, open to the public, so you can come and hang out in the vendor area. We'll have some drinks. It's gonna be a really good vibe. Like, if we're looking to just kick off Black History Month with a bang, like this is it right here.
Definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. Tickets. You can get the tickets on Eventbrite, or you can get the tickets at the door the day of. So.
Right. And for those who listened to last week's interview, we interviewed Ms. Priscilla Hawkins and Nicole Ebra of the Black History Month Festival, and they talked about the African Fashion Week being a part of the Black History Month Festival. So that's something that we're using. I'm a part of the advisory board for Black History Month Festival, and so I want to make sure that the African Fashion Week is a part of the Black History Month Festival so more people can know about it, more people can attend and support. So it's out there. We're doing our best to push it out there and to get people to come. So so this leads me to this next question. Now, I know we kind of covered it, but I just want to hammer it home. So if somebody is asking you, why should I attend the African Fashion Week, what would your answer to that person be?
Why should I attend the African Fashion Week? To support local businesses, for some Black history entertainment, to shop, to eat good food, to network, to see what Tallahassee creatives have to offer. And if you're into fashion, like, you know, why not? Like, if you're into fashion, you're into specifically African fashion, this would be your time to be able to have all the resources for, you know, all the resources that you need in one building. You know, we're highlighting boutiques around Tallahassee that people do not know about. We're highlighting designers that, you know, a lot of people don't know about. We're in vendors. We're creating, you know, we're creating a space for these brands to work together. So, you know, if you want to be a part of history, kick off Black History Month with a bang, get you excited about, you know, the rest of the month, the rest of the festivities that will take place, come to African Fashion Week.
Bam.
And it's also, you know, fundraisers. We raise money for nonprofits in Tallahassee, specifically nonprofits that cater towards children. So, you know, that's another reason to help us support the people who support our children.
Right. Right. And say the name of the boutique that's in Railroad Square again.
It's Halisi Africa.
See, I had no idea. I had no idea that that existed that close to me, because I'm 5 minutes away from Railroad Square. So I had no idea that Halisi Africa existed. Once again, you learn so much more about what's going on in your own community by attending events like this. And for those people who talk about being down for the community, down for Black people, here's your chance to be down for the community, down for the people, and come and enjoy yourself, like she said, because I'm looking forward to the shows, and I'm looking forward to the food and the people.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely down, you know, and this event, you know, I'm definitely down for the community, down for the people, and that's another reason why I did this event, because I could have very well just did a Kumba Creations fashion show.
Exactly.
You know, and that's it. You know, I could have just did that, you know. But, you
exactly.
know, I just
so,
wanted to get the community involved, because I am about my community. I am about supporting people.
Exactly.
And, you know, creating a platform for them and showing them how they can leverage their brand. You know, how we can leverage it together. And so, yeah, most definitely.
So I want to ask this, and it's an off-the-beaten-path question, but the two children designers, how did you learn about them?
Well, one of them, okay, so one is participated in the show the first year. The first year I had my show, and she was, I think, like 12 at the time. And so that's how I learned about her. And I just met her, you know, just, you know, I have children. So, you know, just around the way.
And she was her designs were in the first show?
Yes, her designs were in the first show. She dressed adults, and she was younger then. So I'm excited of what she's about to bring now.
Right. So my mind blown.
So I was like, she might need to be in the adult show. I might have put her in the wrong show.
Because my mind is blown. Yeah, because I remember that, and not once. In my mind was I like a child probably made it. Like, I hadn't, you know, if you wouldn't have said nothing, I would have no idea that a child was one of the designers. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But shout out.
Yep, I have a
shout out to you though.
She was so little, standing next to everybody, and it just was so cute. Yeah. And then the Kabibi collection. I met her. I knew her mother, and then our daughters were going to school together, and I know her mom, you know, they team up and, you know, create the pieces. And you know, the special thing about Kabibi Collection is she's a modest fashion designer. So, you know, she's making modest clothing for children, which I just think this is going to be just amazing. You know, hopefully, you know, I don't know if she's going to do headdresses, but, you know, I would love to see some headdresses running down the walking down the runway.
Right.
You know, your children are going to be covered up, but it's going to be really stylish. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they have to bring.
Right.
I know they're excited, too.
Yeah, shout out to you for recognizing talent and being smart enough and not having an ego. to understand that how you can use your platform to display their stuff, but how that can help enhance the whole fashion show as a whole. Shout out to you for that.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, definitely. You know, I love fashion. I love art. So, you know, you have a vision, and you know, I have this vision that I want to execute.
Right.
And, you know, I'm doing it. And it's like, yes, I make this vision happen.
People
would come together. People in this industry will, you know, come together and just create a platform for everyone so that, you know, we're not marketing. We're marketing together. You know, and then it's up to the customer who they shot with. They shot with all of us. They shot with one of us, whatever. But, you know, we're banding together for the exposure. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I think is deeper than that, than just the fashion week. It's the togetherness, the community, you know, people sharing the information, people coming, people, you know, paying their vendor fees and designer fees so that way they can get something out of it. And we can get something out of it as a whole. And so that's how I really look at it. Because like I said, I could have just did a Kumba Fashion show, and that's it. But I really wanted to get other people involved because it would have just been empty. You know, it would have been like, okay, I did my show, now what? You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, getting people involved. I just love seeing when people work together. And, you know, and why not create a platform for that?
And the shows be amazing, though. So they are great shows. So if you listening, if you're in Tallahassee area and you listening to this, you haven't going to the African Fashion Week, you haven't seen the fashion show, do yourself a favor and make your life cooler and come on to join us. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great
show. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. So, it's going to be amazing.
So this is your fourth show. And for it to be your fourth show, you had to be doing something right.
Right.
From the first show to this show now, what have you learned about putting fashion shows together that you feel would help make this show one of your best yet?
Well, I've learned that, you know, you can do everything. Like, you have to find, you know, people that are experts in the areas that you're not. You know, like marketing and, you know, event management, model management, show management. You know, those things are important. Those little details are important because you can't possibly hit every angle when you're trying to design clothes and do this. You know, you can't see everything. You know, so I think that, you know, having a good marketing team is a must when it comes to having any event. So, and also, you know, putting out good content and just, you know, having the right time to do it. So, like in the past, we did it in the fall. And so I kind of reevaluated that because, you know, the fall is heavy. There's a lot going on. You got Christmas, Thanksgiving, you got homecoming. And so I'm like, you know what? I think it's a better fit for February. Because February is Black History Month. You know, people kind of in that focus, you know, centering on Black History. So that's why I ended up choosing to do it in February. So just being able to look at, you know, what you did the year before and say, hey, this worked, this didn't work. If this didn't work, let's see how we're going to change it. Because fashion shows are very involved. It's more than just, like, making clothes and putting them on the models. You're like, if you're serious about your brand, about the production and what you're doing, then you're really going to take the time to fine-tune the little things. And so if 10 people show up or 10,000 people show up, then the production of the show does not change. You know, and that's what I've learned. Like, it's not always about the numbers, per se.
Right.
You know, numbers, you want numbers. You want your numbers to increase,
right,
of course. And, you know, of course, you know, my numbers have increased.
It's about quality.
But at the same time, you know, if we're showcasing to, like I said, 10 people or 10,000 people, the quality and the production of the show has to get better every year. People have to see it.
Right.
People have to, you know. And so I think that's, you know, those are some important points when planning any event, especially a fashion event.
Okay, because one of the reasons why I asked that and kind of getting your point of view on what you've learned, but also I do want to ask this, and one reason why I'm asking this is fashion ain't really my thing. I know how to put some good clothes together every now and then, but like I wouldn't call myself fashionable. So when I go to fashion shows, you know, I like that clothes. Them clothes look good. Them clothes look good. But I don't know the intricacies of why the clothes look good or how the different things like that. I just know it look good surface level. But from the clothes that the models are wearing to the way the models are wearing the clothes or the way they're walking down the aisle to the hair to the makeup to the whole production of the show, it just like in your opinion from what you've learned from doing your shows and the other shows that you've gone to and stuff and the information that you've even learned over the past 4 years, in your opinion, what goes into making a good fashion show?
Let's see. As far as like the show for the audience type thing,
not necessarily from the audience, but from like the standpoint of like you the person who's putting the show on, from that standpoint, like from the expert standpoint.
You have to have a really strong team, a really good team of people who are down for the cause. You know, from the models all the way to the person sitting at the door. Uh-huh. You know, a strong, solid team is necessary in putting on a fashion show. Right. You know what I mean? And so, and I think, you know, with a strong, solid team, you can accomplish anything. You know, I like to, you know, work with, you know, pretty much the majority of the same people because they know me, they know my style, they know, you know, my expectations, I know their expectations. And so, you know, it will flow. I don't have to, you know, micromanage anyone. But, yeah, a solid team is what really is the formula that creates a good fashion show, for sure.
Right. Okay. And so, as you were saying, you going earlier, like, from the audience standpoint, what were you about to say with that?
Oh, from the audience standpoint, I was saying, you know, the fashion has to be there, you know. The fashion, the models have to have, you know, exciting, amazing walks. The designers have to showcase, you know, pieces. Like, when I say, when you know, with fashion shows, I think there always should be some over-the-top pieces. Because this is a fashion show. You know, we want some oohs and ahs. You know, the themes have to flow. The DJ has to be on point. You know, so that way the audience, It doesn't skip a beat for the audience. The audience, you know, are constantly engaged. So that's why I was meaning kind of like from an audience standpoint, as far as an audience, what I would want a good show to be.
Okay. So as we're talking about the fashion itself, you yourself, fashion design along with your mother, and you all have Kuma Creations. Can you tell us about why did you choose to name it Kuma Creations? Like, I know the story, but I want you to tell everybody like why you chose Kuma Creations for it.
Well, Kuma Creations. So Kuma is the I forget which principal Kwanzaa asked me to ask. And so, my mother is one of the principals.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, she had a business called Gelly May Fashions when I was growing up. And she would also do, like, different cultural events in the community, and her stage name was Kuma. And so when we moved here, she, you know, she closed her business or whatever. And so and we picked it up, and we renamed it Kuma Creation because it was kind of like a mix of the African events, African community events she would do. And in the fashion she would do with Gellamy. So that's why we named it, we ended up naming it Kuma Creations.
Okay. And,
you said, okay, like wait, that's not it.
No, because I was just thinking, because, I left your mother's house earlier, like, doing the fitting and thing for the show coming up, and, I was just looking at some of the things, like, when I came in, but then also as I go back through the pictures of the previous fashion shows, and then when I see pictures of some of the things that you wear and your daughters wear, it just, it's like you all make that. Like, you all are talented. Like, because for me, like, my talent come out in my talking and my personality. I'm a talker. Like, I was put here to talk. That's what I do. So, as you know, as one artist to the next, you know. But your art is in your hands. But for you to be able to envision that in your head and then create that out like that, to me, that's amazing to me. Because it's not like it's just some run-of-the-mill clothing that you all have. You all have some top-notch, high-quality fashion. And for that to come out of your brain, I'll just be looking at you in awe. It's like, dang, you made that. So that's why I just had that pause when you was talking about that, because I just started thinking about it.
Thank you. Sometimes I make stuff, and I'm like, oh, this does look nice. Wait. Because, like, I'm that person. I go to the store and I look how stuff is made, and right. I mean, as petty as this may be, I look for flaws. I look to see how the, you know, flaws are, mm-hmm. and pretty much the same flaws that I see in the store are the flaws that I make. So I'm like, okay, so I see how difficult that was to make that little curve. You know, they did hand stitch that. You know, I see a lot of things in how clothes are made that consumers don't. And right. So I try to, you know, because I want my finishes to be, you know.
Right.
Quality. Right. You know, and the ultimate goal is to, you know, get them manufactured. In order to do that, there's a certain way you have to make them. And so, you know, I think about all those little elements. So, yeah, I appreciate you noticing that.
Yeah. But that, to me, that's not being petty. That's you understand your craft and you want to master your craft, and you have to learn somehow, some way. And so so when you say that, that's what I thought. Like, nah, not petty, but it's what masters do. Like, how it's literally how people master their craft. You have to continuously learn. If you're not continuously learning, then you're not gonna master your craft. So you can see, okay, this looked like this way, and I don't really like that. And then if you see that in your own, you can know how to alter your own and then make it better. So that's good. So with that being said. Because between you and your mother, you know, y'all experience, y'all have mastered. You've done it enough to be masters at it. So, speaking of like having flaws and clothes and all those things, like from your experience and your opinion, what makes a great fashion designer?
I'm saying what makes a great fashion designer is having a brand. You know, being able to look at a piece and say, oh, I know who's that? Oh, that's Kumba Creation. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know, that certain where, you know, it's not your typical manufactured piece. Just being able to stand right. out in the midst of other designers. You know, and that's difficult. That can be very difficult. And it doesn't happen every collection. It doesn't happen every collection. You know, sometimes right. you don't, sometimes you do. But, you know, and being able to just kind of stay true to your brand regardless, you know, like your brand, your skill, even if it's making a wedding dress, you can still put your you know, your little touch into it where it's a cool place for wedding dress, you know. So I think that, you know, what makes a good fashion designer, studying their craft, you know, just perfecting your skill and never thinking that you know it all, being willing to, you know, take risks. And try different things as well.
Okay. So, now that's for me, that's helpful to someone like me, like I said, because fashion isn't my thing. Because I know you, I want to know more now. As you talk about, especially earlier when you're talking about the meaning behind the clothing that's made. So for somebody like me who likes to research, it makes me want to learn more about fashion and everything that goes into it. But another thing, you know, you all make some good clothes, too, and the brother be looking fly in y'all stuff. So it just made me want to go ahead and buy and look a little fly in y'all stuff, too. So, you know, add that out there, too. So, you know. So, What type of impact do you want to make on your community and beyond with your clothing design and business and your fashion week?
What type of impact do I want to make? As I said before, I do it, so that way, like-minded businesses and brands can, kind of come together and, sell the brand together, create a platform where it's like a hub, a hub for all things in Cara. A lot of people, we're out here. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I guess creating togetherness within the businesses in that industry, and also to show people that, African fashion is not just, the traditional garb that you wear
right. In
Africa. You can put a modern twist to it. You put a modern twist to it and give it a different look so that it can be worn, anywhere. It can be worn in court. It can be worn in a board meeting or on TV. It's not just something that you wear during Black History Month. It's not something that you just wear during African cultural celebration. But it's a ready to wear day to day. It can be a ready to wear day to day, piece of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that I'm looking to, put out there. Because a lot of people, when they think of African stuff, they think of, the dashiki, the maxi skirt, and it's like so much more to it. So much more to it.
Right, right. But also, what's funny though, and I just thought about this, what's funny though is, like you mentioned earlier, that along with the Tallahassee African Fashion Week, there are other African Fashion Weeks across the country. And it seems as people, since the movie Black Panther come out, now people all of a sudden have learned about different fashions from the different cultures when they've been having these fashion weeks going on. And so, once again, that to me, that's the importance of the fashion week. So we won't have to wait till Hollywood show us something that we get excited about, even though the movie was good. But African fashion has been on display. The different cultures in the fashion has been on display from people like you and the others around the country. So really get out and get into your community and see what's going on so you can learn more about your culture and things. So, Before we get to our last question, Candace, can you give the people a rundown of the events and where they will be held again?
Yes. So, it's a 4-day event, and it starts on Thursday, February 6th, at 8 p.m. is the opening reception. That's at Le Femme Boutique, 2010 South Monroe Street. Friday, February 7th at 8 p.m. is the Fashion Talk, which will be streamed on Instagram Live from Halisi Africa, and that address is 1002 Commercial Road. Saturday, February the 8th at 8 p.m. will be the Children's Fashion Show, and that will be at 2900 North Monroe Street, Days Inn Conference Center. Sunday, February 9th at 6 p.m. is the main event, the Cara Fashion Show, and that's at 2900 North Monroe Street, the Days Inn Conference Center. Tickets are sold on Eventbrite, and you can purchase them at the door.
Cool. Be there. All right, so I want to ask you this last question that we ask basically all of our guests, and because we like the plethora of answers that we get. So if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, right, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
What would I change? That's a deep question. What would I change?
Right.
Oh, man, too.
You in charge.
Oh, my goodness. I would change. Oh, see, so many things. I mean, that's what seriously stands out as silly with this. What would I change? What's the second part of the question?
What would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
Okay, so my message to the people would be is to, you know, work together. That no one gets anywhere by themselves.
Right.
You need a team. You need supporters. Humble yourself. And, you know, cooperative economics goes a long, long way. You know, other races outside of the white race, you know, they exercise that all the time. So it's just something that we just like, and I see that we do it, so I'm not one of those people to say we don't, because we do. So that would be my message, you know, work together, cooperative economics, you know, support each other. Genuinely, you know, we have time or the money. And I don't know about the others. I don't know what I would change.
But,
oh, my goodness.
And that's fine. That's fine.
I don't know. I would change so many things. We'd be here for hours.
No, that's fine, because, like I said, we get there. We like to ask that question because there's so many viewpoints on that. And we never really intended, when we originally wrote it, we didn't intend it to be a permanent question. Okay, go ahead.
I got it. I would change how we use social media.
Okay.
Yeah, I would change how we use social media.
Why is that?
Because I would change how we use social media when it pertains to children, because, you know, children have. And, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff out there. And so, if I was a ruler, I would try to find a way to, you know, protect children from some of the things that are circulating on social media.
Okay.
That seems impossible, but, you know, I would try.
Right. Shoot, I think, North Korea, some countries, they got strict things on there. But, you know, you can't stop everything, so I do get what you're coming from that. But.
You know, there's a thin line between, you know, you only want the government power so much. There's a thin line between you're doing too much government to where you're not doing enough, you know what I mean? It's like, what do you want to do? But, yeah.
Okay, now I got you. Man, we just love to ask that question because it's a good question, and we like the different answers, and people be thinking, like to make people think too. But once again, yeah, Candace, thank you for stopping by the Freedom Train. we be messing with people. But thank you for stopping by the Freedom Train. I don't want to keep you on here all night, but thank you for talking about the Freedom Train, because I'm excited about the show and I can talk about it forever. But right. So, but I appreciate you and your mother and everything that you and everybody who has been behind African Fashion Week from the beginning to now. Appreciate what you all are doing. Like I say, if there's ever anything you need me to do with the fashion show to help it, just let me know. I'm down. Hell, I pick up trash. I strain lights. I cut grass. Whatever you need.
I appreciate you.
I just believe in what you're doing. I believe in what you're doing, and I always want to, you know, extend my platform. So, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, we'll talk to you later, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yes, I'll see you this weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Have a great night. All right.
You too.
That's Candace May. Put your hands together. All right, now put your hands together. Like Kurt Franklin said, lately I've been going through some things that really got me down. Don't forget me. And then I went to the Fantastic African Fashion Week, and it went down. Hey. I saw my culture. I saw my people. all of the fashion. What ride with people? I messed up, but it's all good. You get the sentiment behind it. You get what I'm saying. Tallahassee After Fashion Week, man. If you're in Tallahassee, be there or be square. Miss Candace May. I want to give a shout out to our mother Gail May, who helps her make all the designs and things. And shout out to all the models that's going to be a part of the show, all the fashion designers, everybody who's behind the scenes making the show happen. And it's just everything that's going to go into this African Fashion Week. This is one of the weeks in Tallahassee and the surrounding areas where black folk can get together, celebrate us, support us, feel good about us, love us, and be out. Just do us. This is one of the things, and it's in Black History Month, and it's going down this whole Black History Month, and this African Fashion Week is helping kick it off real, real, real good. So if you don't know, now you know. It's at Tallahassee African Fashion Week on Instagram and Facebook. Go check it out. Go check it out. With that being said, though, I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I see y'all on the other side. Holla at you.